I'd like to read a few scriptures, one at a time. First of all, in John's Gospel, chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. I'd like to look at a few of the emblems or symbols of the Holy Spirit as we have in the Scriptures. We have here the Spirit spoken of as water. You'll remember how that in chapter 4, we have the woman of Samaria who went to Jacob's well to draw water, and that had been her custom over the years, I suppose, going from time to time, day by day, to draw water, of which the Lord could say, He that drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He that drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but he that drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be as a well of water springing up in his soul. So that we have here that time, this great day of the feast, when Jesus stood there, a day when there should have been a great deal of joy amongst the Israelites, the Jews at that time, but the Lord himself stood up and he said, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So we might say that the water, speaking to us of the Spirit, it was speaking to us of the Spirit of God applying the Word to the heart, resulting first of all from divine light. And that is a very necessary thing, especially in the day in which we live. As we were hearing this morning, we're living in time, we see Christendom all around us. And Christendom is just a sphere of profession. And a lot of the profession that is seen around in the world today is a very, very empty thing indeed. And what is definitely needed is divine life, and that is found alone in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, the Lord saves by His grace, and He gives divine life. And it's like that refreshing water, which we found how that when the woman of Samaria drew that water, there was that which would give satisfaction. And we see how the Spirit of God would give us that satisfaction, the joy of God's salvation, trusting Him and Him alone, the One who alone is able to lead us and guide us day by day as we journey heavenward and homeward. And there's something else about the water that one might notice also in this gospel. In chapter 13, you remember how the Lord himself, he gathered his own, and there were the 12 disciples, that is true. Judas was also there. And he took water, and he girded himself, took that basin of water, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And we see how that Peter said to him, Well, thou wash my feet also. And he said, if your feet are not washed, you have no part with me. Peter had a part in him. He was the Christ. But there's that necessity of day by day of being cleansed by the Word of God, being cleansed and washed by the Word of God. And it also has its effect. The Spirit of God, as we're led and guided by Him, as we are subject to the leadings of the Spirit, it will have a cleansing effect in our lives. It will teach us that which is right and that which is wrong, as long as we are willing to be subject to the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. I believe it is something that we need in the day in which we live. I remember one time, and it was a new assembly, I'll admit, just had been formed. And I was with an older brother at the time, and I had baptized 15 the day before in what was known as the priest pool. We were chased out of there with coetti, with rocket,
But I remember when we sat around on the Lord's morning to remember the Lord. The brother that sat on my left, he wrote the first hymn. The next brother got up and worshiped. And that began to go around. And the brother sitting on his right side of me, he said to me, John, he said, we'll have to wait till it's our turn. And when it came along to him, he gave thanks for the bread. And then, of course, I gave thanks for the cup. But it was a new assembly. But I remember different times going back to that place, they have learnt what it is to be led and guided by the Spirit. And that is something that is very important in our assembly gatherings, being led and guided by the Holy Spirit of God. And for those that are young too, we'd like to encourage you to know what it is to be subject to the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. So we might say that the Spirit here as water, we will find it refreshing. We will find it, it will cleanse us. It will keep us in a condition whereby we can come and worship our God in accordance to the Word of God, in accordance to the Spirit of God. He'll never lead contrary to the Word of God. Never lead contrary to the Word of God. Now the second scripture I'd like to look at is in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, well-known scripture, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this was a day of Pentecost. There is only one day of Pentecost, only one day of Pentecost, and that took place, as we see here, for the word Pentecost means 50 days after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see how that on the day of Pentecost, we see how that there came the Spirit of God came down upon the disciples. It came as a mighty wind. It came as a fire. Especially for those that are younger, sometimes you meet these so-called Jehovah Witnesses, and they will say, oh, the Spirit. Oh, that's a wind. Oh, that's a fire. But it's not here. We see in chapter 2 of the Acts, that the Spirit of God came down as a mighty wind and came and appeared like as a fire. As a wind, it would speak to us of the power with which the Spirit of God came upon them at that time. And as a symbol of fire, I believe it tells us of the burning energy of the Spirit of God that came down on that day of Pentecost. And those men, Peter, those disciples, they preached the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. It was a convicting power. It was a power that had come from God Himself. And that is something that is needed today. It's not great preaching, but what is needed is preaching in power of the Holy Ghost, the Lord working amongst His people. And we see how God is able and mighty to save. Now I really fully realize in the closing of the dispensation, one cannot expect to see these large, large numbers reach the saved. But you know, in many places today, because they want to get the numbers, the large numbers, they're going to many other ways to try and get these people. Not too long ago in Maracaibo, there was a great campaign. And of course they had great preachers. They had great preachers there. And they had lots of music. We were hearing about music this morning. There was lots of noise, I should say, with the music. Because that's what a lot of them like, is a lot of noise. And there were 500 converts. But 6 months later they couldn't find one of them. 6 months later they couldn't find one of them. But what I have found, in many, many places, where you find people that have been deceived once, they're far, far harder to reach. Far harder to reach. So we see here how that the Spirit of God came down at that time as a mighty wind, a power from God, and as a burning fire, as it says here, like as fire, it set upon each one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake as the Spirit directed them, guided by the Spirit. So we see here, we have here, the energizing power of the Holy Spirit. What God is able to do by the Spirit of God, and the power manifested. It should encourage us, especially brothers and sisters, in prayer, how much we need to lay hold upon God in prayer. I've often said how that often here in the homeland, at a conference, many times the praying is largely left to the preaching brethren. I've often said how that in Venezuela, you'll go to a conference and probably the first meeting, the preachers will all take part in prayer. But then by the second meeting, there'll be a few of our brethren taking part in prayer. And then by the third meeting, half the prayer meeting will be our Venezuelan brethren will be taking part in prayer. But come by about the fourth meeting, preachers don't have to take part in prayer at all. Our brethren will just go right up. They're not long prayers. 3 or 4 minutes. But brethren, it's prayer in power of the Holy Spirit. And then look forward to blessing. The blessing of the Word of God amongst the people of God. And then when comes Saturday night, there's one thing you expect to see. That's soul saved. And rarely it is of a Saturday night in Venezuela, but what we don't see souls reached and saved by the grace of God. But I believe there's a need. And to realize that the Spirit is powerful. The Spirit is able to do that which we are not able to do. So we see how that when they proclaim the gospel of the grace of God in power of the Holy Spirit, God blessed His Word. And I believe in the day in which we live, where there is preaching of the clear gospel of the grace of God in power of the Spirit of God, God will bless His Word. Souls will be saved, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. God will be honored and glorified, and the assemblies will be built up and strengthened in the right ways of the Lord. Another scripture I'd like to read, we have in Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. There's many portions in the prophecy of Isaiah that always seem to appeal to me. At least they appeal to my heart. And we have here words that the Lord Jesus Christ quoted, both in Luke's Gospel. In chapter 4 of Luke's Gospel, there we see how that He left out these words and to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. And it was at the beginning of His ministry there. But these things were all true of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 3 it speaks of the oil of joy. And I was thinking here, we have the Spirit here as an emblem of the Spirit as of oil. Oil in the Scripture often speaks of anointing. And it speaks of consecration. You remember how that when David was brought into his family, how Samuel rose up there and poured a flask of oil over him, anointed him. David realized what that anointing meant, that he was to be king, that he was to be king when the time came. He went back out to care for his father's sheep, but there's one thing he was assured of. In some way, God in His time, God in His way, would open up the way and he would become king in Israel. And so it was, as we're hearing this morning, in regards to the Lord Jesus Christ, in regards to his temptation by that evil one, by the devil himself. He could leave all in his Father's hands. There's one thing that often troubles us, and that we're always in a rush. Having to wait is the most difficult thing to do. But here we see, and it's beautiful to see, says the prophet here, and is in connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And I was thinking in regards to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the time when he came. We think of the years in the house of Joseph and Mary. And we think how of the time at 12 years of age, there he was amongst the doctors, and he could instruct them. And then we see the time when he went forth in his ministry. And there, and in that place, he opened the book, where he unrolled the roll, it would be, and he came to these words, that he, now are these words fulfilled in your ears. And the people, they were in expectation, and they marveled at the gracious words which he spoke. He was the one who was anointed of God. He was the one who was consecrated completely to do the whole mind of God, in such a way that God could say of him, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In every way we look at him, and I believe there's nothing that can help us as the people of God, is reading over, studying, meditating, and reading the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, his humbleness, ever doing the will of the Father, doing those things, his delight. His delight was to do the will of the Father. Delight was to do the will of the Father. To do that which was pleasing in his Father's sight. What an example for us in the day in which we live. In being consecrated to him, having the hands filled with one desire to live to please him. And we could examine ourselves in every department of our lives. Is this pleasing unto the Lord? Is this place where I go to? Is this thing that I do? Is my comportment in a way that is pleasing to the Lord? Pleasing to the Lord? Does it please the Lord? Is it a life that brings honor and glory to his name? We see how that so often the assembly is like a light. The Lord, we read in Matthew's gospel there, how that a testimony can be as a light that is set upon a hill where all can see it. And that is what I believe the assembly should be. It's a light that all can see it. We many a time we see souls recently who have been brought to the assembly because of the comportment of the Christians and have the desire to follow or to have what they have. Have what they have. I remember one time going to an assembly a few hundred miles from here, but here in the north. And we had a few meetings. And there was a woman sitting outside on the doorsteps next door. She said, you know, years ago, I met a man, and he owned this house right beside the gospel hall. And he said, I married him because I wanted to be beside the gospel hall. She said, I believed that the gospel was the truth. And she said, I thought that I was going to have an opportunity of hearing the gospel. And she said, after we got married, we lived here in the house, and I used to see the Christians come, and I saw the Christians go. And I often wondered, I would like to be like one of them. She said, I had a family, the family grew up, and the family have all gone off, and then my husband died. And it so happened that at this time when we were there, one of the brethren went down to cut the lawn. And she said to him, you're having some meetings. Yes, they said, there's just a missionary here having a few meetings. Wouldn't you like to come in? Oh, she says, I would be delighted. And she came. And by the end of the week, Saturday night it was, she phoned us to where we were. We were out for supper that night, and we went to see her. She phoned us, we were going to visit her. And she got saved. I remember that Lord's Day morning, the brethren were all saying to me, You think she's saved? You think she's saved? Really, do you think she's saved? Well, I said, it'll take a little bit of time to prove it, whether she's saved or not. But you know, some time later, the brother wrote and told me that they had baptized her, and she's brought into fellowship. And it was a real cheer to her, to them there, until finally the Lord took her home to be forever with Himself. She was watching, and she didn't know she could go into the hall. Unfortunately, nobody ever invited her. But you know, brothers and sisters, she saw their comportment, saw their comportment. All the oil of gladness, how it should be poured upon every one of us. The oil of consecration, to walk in fellowship with Himself and to live to please Him. Brothers and sisters, the time is short. Time is short. The Lord's coming draweth near. We'll soon hear that shout and we'll be caught away and we'll be forever with Himself. Oh, what a privilege and opportunity is even here and now to be a witness and a testimony for Himself until that day when we shall see Him and be with Him and be like Him for all eternity. The oil of gladness. The oil of joy. Instead of mourning, the oil of joy. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. Trees of righteousness. And now, we have a number of palm trees in Venezuela, but you have them down across the line too in the States, especially in California. You have the royal palm. And that's a beautiful palm. It always goes up straight. I've never seen a royal palm that leaned one way nor another way. It always goes up straight in the air. But you see a coconut tree. A coconut tree, you look into a coconut plantation, and you won't see two coconut trees that grow the same way. In fact, some will go up and go down in the ground and come back up again. They're all over the place. All over the place. I'm afraid sometimes there are some Christians that are like that. But we should be like the royal palm. Straight up and down. Trees of righteousness. Walk in a way that is righteous and well-pleasing unto the Lord. I'd like to read also in Psalm 72. Verse 6, He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, the showers that water the earth. Now, you'll notice that in the margin, it gives a quotation from 2 Samuel chapter 23. And there, more or less, it says, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. And then we have this part quoted there, in 2 Samuel as well. And I believe here it has a reference to the Holy Spirit as rain. As rain. You know, for those here that are gardeners, it's a thing I've often noticed. You water your lawn and you water your garden, and well, it's refreshed a little. But you wait till there's a good shower. My, everything just springs up. Everything just springs up. So it is when we are subject to the leading and the guiding of the Spirit of God. It gives freshness. It refreshes. It revives. It gives new life. It gives a reviving, a restoring, a restoration. And as the psalmist could say, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And how much we need the joy of God's salvation restored to us day by day. For brethren and sisters, as we were hearing this morning also, there's so many things you hear and so many things you see. Contamination. I have preached with a brother Linares for more than 30 years. They're pretty well always together. In fact, some of them kind of have a pun about us, but I won't tell you what that is. But the Lord has helped us a good deal. But you know, many times walking down the streets, because the Venezuelans, they generally speak loudly. Oh, he would say, did you hear that? Well, I said, I heard a voice, but I didn't hear what they were saying. Oh, he said, I'm glad you didn't understand what they were saying. I'm often thankful to the Lord that my ears are limited. Ears are limited. Don't get all these conversations that are going around. But you know, to see how the rain can come down, it refreshes. It gives new life. It's a beautiful trait of the refreshing and restoring effect of the Lord's reviving. All we need is, we've heard that quoted, Lord, revive us again. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. All brothers and sisters, to be brought near and near to the Lord himself. The rain coming down is a beautiful type of the Spirit of God. Then we'd like also to look again in John's Gospel, chapter 16. John chapter 16. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. As we all know, the Lord chose his own disciples, and he sent them forth. And we see how that they were with him continually. Anything they desire to know, they ask. They'll always ask. What a wonderful privilege it must have been, as they went in and out with him. They saw his miracles. They heard his ministry. They heard him pray. My, on one occasion when they heard him to pray, they were made to say, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. It's not so much what to pray, for we all know the tremendous amount what to pray, but Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And he had been with them. He had guided them. He had helped them. He had taught them. He was with them all the time. They were with him. They enjoyed his presence. They knew him. And they were with him like that. But here, he had told them that he was going away. He was going to leave them. But he would come again and receive them unto himself. But he said, I will give you another comforter. Paraclete. I will give you another comforter. One of the same. And so he says here, howbeit when he comes, that is, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. And when there is subjection to the Spirit of God, he will guide us into all truth, because the truth is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Remarkable thing. There he is, as a voice. The Spirit of God, as a voice. But he's a voice that speaks. Voice that speaks. And it's for us to tune our ears to hear his voice. And he will take of the things of Christ. Take of the things of Christ. Not a lot of the things that go around and around about us. But he will take of the things of Christ to reveal them unto us. And that's what we need in the day in which we live. Things of Christ. His life. The way he lived, his delight was through the will of his Father. Which even led, we read how in Hebrews 13, for the joy that was set before him, he looked beyond. You know, our eyesight is limited, but he looked beyond. And for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. You remember how in Matthew 16, when he began to tell his disciples about his suffering. Paul says, Peter, be it far from thee, Lord. Be it far from thee, Lord. And many a time, when we see a little bit of affliction, a little bit of trial, a little bit of difficulty, well, we sort of shrink from it. But not so the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked beyond it all. He looked beyond it all. Brothers and sisters, we should have our eyes on the Lord himself. And so we see the Spirit of God as a voice, taking of the things of Christ to reveal them unto us, to know more, as we were singing, more about Jesus, would I know, having desire to know him more and more, that he might be manifested in our lives until that day when we shall see him face to face. And the last scripture I'd like to read is in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And here we see the spirit, an emblem of the Spirit as a seal. You have been sealed. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Having believed, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you've been sealed. And that we see the sealing, sealed here, is a mark of security. And not only that, it teaches me, I'm not my own. I have been sealed. I have been secured. I belong to the Lord. I've been bought with His precious blood. Chapter 2, we have, as it were, the quarry of sin. We were without God, without Christ, without hope, living and practicing sin. Though I always thank God that I was saved in my youth, I never got up into to an age where I got to know anything about this world and the corruption of the bones on every hand. Always thank God that I was saved when I was, well, I wasn't quite 14 when the Lord reached and saved me by His grace. Never got to know all the corruption of the bones, and there weren't far too much of it since then, as you've met and seen souls saved that were deep in drugs and everything else. Oh, what a pitiful sight it all is. But you know, we've been taken out of that. We've been taken out of that. We've been sealed. We've been sealed. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Temple of the Holy Spirit, which we have received of God. We're a heavenly people. And we've been left here for a testimony. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And we might walk in a way that is pleasing with Himself. But we're sealed until the day of redemption. When the Lord comes to take that which is His own, His own beloved people, to take us home to be forever with Himself. Our brothers and sisters, they should encourage us to seek to walk in a way that pleases Him until that day when we shall see Him and be with Him and like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, and we shall be manifested with Him. That is something that always delights my soul. Many a time, I remember years ago I was alone in Dwarka, and I hadn't been well. In fact, I had been laid up for a little while, and I got a lovely letter from a dear brother, our brother Maxwell would know him, Charlie Strong of New Jersey. Anyway, he wrote and told me, he said, you know, I've been just reading through the Meyer books, Fox's Book of Martyrs, and he said, I've come across a John Fritz, who was one of the martyrs away in that time. Well, you know, I thought, well, I looked it up. Sure enough, there was a John Frith who had given his life for the Lord's sake. He had was burnt at the stake. But I tell you, I thought, well, I wouldn't want to be burnt at the stake, not burned this. But you know, as a word of encouragement, whatever the Lord may have for us, He has given us the Holy Spirit. Seal with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. All brothers and sisters, may it give us a realization that we've been bought with a price, that we should live to please Him. All that we do in our assembly life, in our home life, in our business life, that it might be in a way that is pleasing to Himself until that day when He comes to take us home to be forever with Himself. The Lord's on us.